Hello, you're listening to the C to Z of Movies. My name's Colin, I'm the C. Joining me is Zijan the Z. Hello, Zijan.
Hey, Colin, we meet again.
Wow, this feels like we've suddenly become deadly enemies. Is that... we meet yes, again.
Yes, that's true. I saw you on Friday, well, a couple of days ago.
Yeah, we went to see a film that may or may not turn up in to C or not to Z.
Spoiler, you will.
Okay.
I've not seen any other film since then.
That makes sense. And another sneak behind the curtain, peek behind the curtain. We've just recorded the last of the quiz episode.
Yeah.
So, whilst occasionally we pretend that it's recorded on the same day, can we reveal that's not true. but hey,
you can tell by the different quality in the audio recordings, I would say.
Also, how tired we're feeling kind of seems to go up and down over the course of it. I think people enjoy the last episode. I also think it's going to be like 4 hours long by the time I get around to stitching it all together, but we shall see. Are you excited for the world to hear that?
I am. It feels like it's a good way to end this podcast, I would say.
Yeah. Today we are looking back at the predictions we made at the end of last year, and we're going to make some predictions for next year, even though we're not doing the podcast anymore. Just so you know, they're out there.
I maybe haven't gotten around to doing that, but we'll see. I can cover some stuff.
Finish as we always lived. Not quite prepared. Well, I've got 9, so you can have some of mine.
That's good. That's good. All right then.
We're also looking at the many, many, many films of Meryl Streep. We've got a quiz on the Bourne franchise and much, much,
much more.
We start, as we always do, with movie news. What have you got, Zijan?
I mean, the Golden Globe Awards nominations came out recently. And Barbie, to the surprise of no one, topped the number of nominations. And I think it became the second most nominated film ever at the Globes.
That's
tying
mad.
With Cabaret. Well, it has three Cabaret. Songs in the best song category, though.
Really?
Yeah, it has three songs in the best song category. So, I mean, no surprises there, really. I mean, this is... the Golden Globes Awards has always had controversy, and this time around, this ceremony will be the first time to be broadcast on CBS because they've ended their relationship with NBC. This was also the first since they had a backstage reorganization over summer, which saw the disbanding of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, the HFPA, which previously voted on and ran the Golden Globes. They've upped the membership from 75 to 300. But still, it's a small number of people voting compared to the BAFTAs, which has 6,000 people,
yeah.
and the Oscars, which has 10,000 people voting on it.
Wow. Yeah, it's... I mean, you say it's a surprise for no one. I was expecting, obviously, some, and because the Globe splits into comedy and drama, that helps their cause. But it's interesting. I'm looking at the list of the best drama: Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Past Lives, The Zone of Interest, and Anatomy of a Fall. I think three of those are non-American films, which is it's nice to see. But also, some of them haven't come out here yet, as is often the case. So it's difficult to comment.
I think Maestro is coming out soon, right? Because I've seen a trailer.
I think that's on Netflix before Christmas, I think. And Anatomy of a Fall did come out already, I think. But I didn't think I remember seeing it when it was in cinemas. I think it came out in November.
What's it about?
Am I getting mixed up? Anatomy of a Fall and Past Lives. One of them came out already. So maybe it's Past Lives came out already. Anatomy of a Fall is someone who dies by... falling, I think, in a ski lodge or something, and then you follow their ex-wife or their wife, who is a suspect. But I think it's a... I don't know, actually. It's a European film, I think. I could be wrong.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that. And Zone of Interest is a German film set in around World War II. So we haven't got that one out here yet. And then the comedies, Barbie, Poor Things, American Fiction, The Holdovers, May, December, and Air. I think only two of those have come out over here.
I don't think May, December classifies as a comedy. How does it classify as a comedy? So that's a film with Natalie Portman interviewing Julianne Moore, who had a relationship with a minor.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, so it's about the May-December relationship between basically an older person and a younger, much younger person, right?
And it's not out yet, is it?
It's not out yet, but the trailer's out.
Okay.
Yeah, so like I don't think that's comedic in any way, shape or form. If I'm not mistaken, I saw an interview with the director who said, I'm not sure when I, you know, had this in, you know, when I had it, made this film, I had it to be nominated for Best Comedy.
I mean, the Globes has always made some strange decisions on that aspect, hasn't they? But the American Fiction looks really good. The Holdovers looks fun. So,
Poor Things look good. I'm looking forward to that. That's the one with Emma Stone.
Mark Ruffalo.
With Yorgos Lanthimos.
Yeah, I'm in two minds with that one because I've not loved his... Well, I've not seen much of his stuff, but what I have seen, I've not loved. We'll see. Mm. We'll see. Yeah, so award season has begun, I guess.
Yep. But it's a Golden Globe, so no one really cares.
Nice. Dwayne Johnson has got a new gig. He's going to be playing mixed martial arts champion Mark Kerr in The Smashing Machine. So far, so normal, but it's been directed by Benny Safdie, and it is for A24, who have made some or announced some slightly unexpected changes. So I don't know if you're familiar with A24, but kind of like the an indie studio, if that's not a contradiction in terms, and they do historically have done a lot of kind of small budget, well received indie films, but things like Parasite was A24. But it seems that they are going more into bigger budget things. So they're doing Civil War next year with Kirsten Dunst film, which looks like it's got a much bigger budget. And this is an interesting choice for Dwayne Johnson because he's not done anything like this before, I don't think, unless you count Fighting With My Family, which he was barely in.
I mean, this is... Or is he going to wear khaki pants in the jungle, though?
I don't think he is.
Oh, wow, what?
I know.
This is really different for Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about MMA, to be honest. I wouldn't have thought MMA fighters normally are the size of Dwayne Johnson, but maybe Mark Kerr was, I've no idea. But yeah, Benny Safdie, Safdie Brothers, I think they were the ones behind Uncut Gems and Good Time, maybe.
So, yep.
Very well respected. I think it's an interesting move. Because whilst Dwayne Johnson is one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood, I'm not sure he's a good actor. He's not a bad actor.
I feel like we've been through this so many times before. Yeah. It's like the C to Z of movies has like a personal vendetta against Dwayne Johnson at this point now.
It's about, well, we started 200 episodes ago or thereabouts with your vendetta against Will Smith, and I think you've been proven correct in that one. So
yeah, of course I have.
And my vendetta against Gerard Butler is
it's not been proven correct at all.
No, it's not yet, not yet. So I haven't got time.
We've
got
two more episodes to go.
I've got time for another vendetta.
Sean Gunn is due to play Maxwell Lord in the DC universe. And if anyone screams Nepo Baby.
Yes. Or Nepo Brother.
Nepo Brother, given James Gunn is now the head honcho of DC. Sean Gunn was previously in the Suicide Squad as Weasel, I believe.
That's right. Yeah.
And Maxwell Lord was also previously played by Pedro Pascal.
In everyone's favourite film.
Wonder Woman 1984.
Such a bad film. I mean, Sean Gunn has got a few gigs working with James. I mean, he played Kraglin in Guardians. He used the did all the kind of body work for Rocket Raccoon.
Rocket.
Mm-hmm. But it felt like he was being given the kind of annoying jobs that they couldn't get anyone else to do. Like, surely, like, motion capturing Weasel wasn't much fun. But this seems like it's a proper gig.
It feels like it. The Maxwell Lord in that Pedro Pascal played. I mean, we're going to forget the whole movie, right? Wonder Woman 1984 is just a terrible, terrible movie. So it may be good to introduce Maxwell Lord back again into DC Universe under different guys.
James Gunn says he doesn't... Was it something like villain is quite reductive or something like that? Which, in fairness, everyone who's ever played a villain in a superhero film was like, well, I don't really see them as a villain, and they're kind of this weird pattern person who wants to blow up the world. But it does, yeah, it seems, I think sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, Maxwell Lord is a good guy or an anti-hero? Or...
I think at the beginning, yeah, I think so. But he was the one who forced Wonder Woman to kill him in the comic books.
All right.
So you know, I think he was Wonder Woman's first kill. Basically, in the comic books, he has mind control powers.
Oh, right. Okay.
And he, yeah, that's why it's very different from the film, right? Wonder Woman came for, who found this weird relic that can grant wishes. But yeah, he has mind control powers. And in the comics, what happened was that he took control of Superman.
Okay.
And the only way Wonder Woman could stop Superman was to kill Maxwell Lord.
We haven't got a Wonder Woman in DCU, have we?
No, it's probably Gal Gadot, right? She'll come back again.
Probably. Probably. So I wonder if he... Yeah. Oh, interesting. We'll see how that goes. We have some Ryan Gosling news. He is out of Wolfman. It's a Blumhouse horror film. And is replaced by someone called Christopher Abbott, who I've never heard of.
Yeah, apparently he is going to be in Poor Things, the Emma Stone film, which I told you about. We were speaking about earlier. Yeah, he's going to be in it. And he also has a role in Kraven the Hunter, which we won't see next year.
The good thing about not doing this podcast anymore is I don't feel any guilt about not watching Kraven the Hunter.
I mean, did you feel guilty about watching some of the films we've watched before, Colin?
But sometimes like, well, should I watch this for the podcast? It's not going to happen. I've still not watched Morbius.
Neither have I.
Yeah. There you go. Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I think they've got a new director as well. So previously it was Derek Chanfrans, but now it's going to be directed by the Invisible Man's Lee Hueno. So,
okay.
Lots of things have changed. What do we have? We have got a lot of casting news. Lots of pairings. Ryan Reynolds and Channing Tatum are teaming up for an action comedy called Calamity Hustle. They were together in Free Guy, if I'm not mistaken. Even though Channing Tatum was just there for as a cameo, really.
And they both cameoed in Bullet Train, I think.
Ah.
I think.
I don't know that. But this film is about a former Los Angeles detective and private investigator who, after being shaken down by a vicious crime lord, must track down his estranged brother, who is responsible for interfering with a diamond heist.
I'm not sure this is a real movie.
I mean, Ryan Reynolds has been putting on a lot of stuff on Twitter just to cover up all the Deadpool rumors, right? So
yes, yeah. I feel like Ryan Reynolds' career is in a weird place where he keeps making... I feel like Chris Evans. He keeps making movies that don't feel like they're real movies. They just feel like they're... Let's put these guys together and see what happens. Well, good luck to him. Good luck to him. Another pairing, Bradley Cooper and Christian Bale, or Christian Bley, as I've written here. Previously seen together in American Hustle, will be starring in a film called Best of Enemies. It's a classic, I don't know if it's Cold War or not, but it's an American spy and a Russian spy. You probably know this, but of those two, who do you think is playing Russian?
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
I mean, who is better in playing Russian? Bradley Cooper or Christian Bale? Christian Bale.
I think Christian Bale. I mean, in fairness, he's convinced a lot of people he's American. So
yes, just, that's
it's,
true.
It's just one more step to Russian.
That is very, very true. What else we have? Charlize Theron and Daniel Craig has joined heist thriller 2 for the Money.
I think there was an Al Pacino Matthew McConaughey film called 2 for the Money.
I wouldn't know that. But apparently this came about from director Justin Lin and his co-writer Dan Mazzo. So they were both working on the film Fast X. And they came together to come up with 2 for the Money before Justin Lin quit Fast X.
Two career criminals, 3 big jobs, snappy dialogue. That's what I've written here. Snappy. I like a bit of snappy dialogue.
I really love snappy dialogue.
Who doesn't love snappy dialogue, indeed? Sean Levy is back again with Ryan Reynolds. They've previously worked together in Deadpool 3 in the future, The Adam Project. And something else I can't remember. He'll be directing a film, as yet untitled, which is going to be a high-concept global heist paper. That's a lot of words. Ryan Reynolds is producing it, and not confirmed to star, but probably will star, it seems. It's not a bad pairing. Oh, Free Guy, they worked on together. So it's not a bad pairing. They'd make good stuff, it seems. Yeah. Why not keep working together?
Exactly. And my last bit of news is that Ridley Scott is on board to direct an action thriller called Bomb. Bomb, B-O-M-B, all in capital letters, because why not?
Do you reckon it stands for something?
Does it?
I didn't know said, but do you reckon it does?
Probably, right?
Battle of my brain or something.
Oh my, no, I hope not. But it's about a hostage negotiator caught into duty the night before his wedding in London.
Sounds like Battle of My Brain to me.
Battle of My Brain. Battle of my brain. Specifically.
Yep.
Wow.
Do you reckon they're going to ever show this film on aeroplanes?
I mean, I don't see why not, right?
It's called Bomb. You can't watch a film called Bomb on a plane.
Why, is that like pushing it a little too far?
You're going through security and oh, I can't wait to go on the plane and have Bomb.
who does that? Who knows what you're watching when you're going through security, Colin? Do you actually know the catalogue of films that you're going to watch when you're boarding a film?
Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I fly to Europe just so I can watch a film. That's
wow.
That's not true. Also, flight to Europe, you have to be quite a short film. Anyway, speaking of tragic plane crashes, Paul Greengrass is going to be directing a film called Drowning: The Rescue of Flight 1421, which sounds like it's based on a real thing, but it isn't. It's based on a book.
Paul Greengrass is directing a lot of the Bond films, which we'll be quizzing on, right?
That's right. Are you familiar with this? No reason why you would be. The kind of a family tea time sitcom called Heartbeat, which is based around a police force in the 60s. There's no reason why you should be. But one of the characters in that was called Claude Greengrass. And whenever I think of Paul Greengrass, I think of Claude Greengrass, which some of our listeners will enjoy that reference. Let us know if you enjoyed that reference. CZMovies@gmail.com. To see or not to Z, then, our next section where we talk about the films we've recently seen and whether you, the listener, should see them or not, Z them. Zijian, we saw a film together.
Yes, we saw Wonka. The musical film by Paul King. I have to mention it's a musical film because the trailers did not imply it as a musical film at all.
I don't think I knew it was a musical until they started singing.
Did you not?
I must have heard that at some point, but it still came as a surprise.
Yeah, the trailers definitely kept it hidden, which, I mean, given the poor propensity for musicals to perform in the box office, I'm kind of not surprised. I'm a big fan of musicals, and I think you are as well, Colin.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the your normal moviegoers don't really like to hear people singing while acting on screen.
I mean, the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is a musical, I guess, but I'm not sure I would necessarily think of it as a musical. I'd probably just think of it as a film that has some songs in it, which is subtly different in my mind.
But I think this is definitely a musical.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right, but even so, there's not as much, it's not like Les Mis levels of singing, is it? It's kind of your Mary Poppins, here's lots of acting that culminates in a song, kind of.
I don't think there's any film which has Les Mis level of singing. It's pretty much sung true.
Yeah, that's true. That's 100% singing in the first half.
Yeah. So, I mean, but yeah, as I say, things like In the Heights and even Steven Spielberg's West Side Story didn't do well in the box office. So I'm not surprised they're trying to keep it hidden. Just like they're trying to keep hidden the upcoming Mean Girls movie is a musical as well.
It's so weird. Well, because we saw that trailer, didn't we? And they did actually put some singing in this one, which they hadn't done before, but literally just like what, two words or something.
My name is Regina George.
Okay, a few more than two, but weird.
Yeah, very weird. But anyway, Wonka is a film that stars Timothée Chalamet as the titular role. If you can't guess, this is a prequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And there's quite a cast in here. We've got a newcomer teen actress, Kella Lane. We've got Keegan-Michael Key, we've got Matt Lucas, we've got Sally Hawkins, Rowan Atkinson, Olivia Colman. It's quite a big cast.
Matthew Binton.
Very, very good. And a lot of people from Taskmaster as well.
A lot of people from Taskmaster, that's right. And I know already, because we discussed this briefly, that you you like this one.
I enjoyed it. Good music, very charming. I agree with you that it's like Cruella in the sense that it. I mean, this character is definitely not the same as the Willy Wonka in the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory's films at all. The Gene Wilder, neither the Gene Wilder or the Johnny Depp versions of it. But you know, in the books, that Wonka is jaded and cynical because people stole his recipe. So who knows what has gone up? But this Wonka here in this film, he's optimistic, he's young, he's charming, he's happy. Yeah, he loves what he's doing. And yeah, I found it surprisingly good. I wasn't coming into this year anticipating to enjoy. Well, first of all, I wasn't anticipating watching this film to begin with. And second of all, yeah, enjoying it. And I did. And I think I got a weepy towards the end as well. So especially when he started singing, well, spoiler alert, he will sing, what's the song? Come With Me.
World of Pure Imagination.
Yeah.
Yes, and of course Hugh Grant that playing an.
Oh yeah, I forgot Hugh Grant as Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, I don't think I enjoyed this as much. I had a good time, but I don't think I'll go back to it. What I think you talked about a little bit as well is Timothy Chalamet is fine. He does a good job, but he's kind of a straight guy amongst all these kind of slightly weirder characters. And one thing I don't think we talked about before is that in terms of character development, a film, basically your lead character should go on a journey and learn and change. That's kind of what films should do, I think. And he, because as you say, Gene Wilder played him as this very cynical guy who's been through a lot. It felt like Timothy Chalamet's Wonka went from being a kind of naive, hopeful guy for whom things didn't work out, being a naive, hopeful guy for whom things did work out. It didn't seem he changed a great deal. Am I being harsh there?
Yeah, no, I don't think you're being harsh there. It's basically him being naive and cheerful at the beginning, but then he had some setbacks and he was down for a bit, wasn't he? Until he was cheered up by Oompa Loompa Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess he does have that kind of character progression, like, in that sense. But in the end, he still remained as who he was right from the beginning.
But it's a fun time. I don't think anyone will regret seeing it, but I feel it might get forgotten. Do you think there'll be a Wonka 2?
I hope not.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it could be, though, right? I mean, Paul King is making so many sequels anyway.
It feels like it might be heading that way. I mean, like, obviously, Cruella 2 has been in the pipeline for a while.
Yeah.
And as I said, this feels very much, kind of vibes-wise, quite a lot like Paddington 2, because it is Paul King, but also very similar to Cruella. I would also say, for the benefit of Simon, who might be listening to this, and anyone else from the area, it's largely filmed in Oxford, so we get to see the Bodleian Library, where Simon used to work.
Hmm.
I'll mention briefly a film called The Upside. So I think previously on the podcast I've talked about Untouchable or Intouchable, which is a film about a disabled or paraplegic rich guy who brings on a kind of a carer who's this he's a rather both French and he's this kind of he's a black guy who is not used to that kind of world and just kind of turns up at the interview almost by accident. It's a very good film, but it got remade a few years ago starring Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart. And I don't know what happened to it. I don't know whether it just sank without trace because I hadn't really heard of it. And it's one of those things that I think a lot of people quite reasonably say, why are you bothering to remake this just with some Hollywood actors? Why can't I just watch the original? Which I think is a reasonable criticism, but I thought this was really good. I think it's Kevin Hart's best performance I've ever seen from him. Certainly in it's not a, I was going to say non-comedic. He's still quite funny at times, but you know how Kevin Hart is from like really big, larger-than-life characters. And I think this is his a really strong performance from him as a bit more muted than that. And Bryan Cranston is typically good. Nicole Kidman's in it in a supporting role. So I think the French one is worth watching, but I also think this is worth watching. So. It's on Amazon Prime.
Mm.
We move on then to our main segment of the day, predictions, where we go back through our predictions from last year and see how many we got right. I don't know whether you have thought about this, Zijan, but I can confirm not that many. and then we may or may not, well, at least one of us will make some predictions for next year.
No, in my defense, Colin.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go.
What? Like, I didn't know. We're stopping our podcast in two podcast time. So I wasn't expecting to come up with many more predictions.
That's your defense, is it?
That is my defense. It's a very strong defense.
It's a strong defense. All right.
I rest my case.
Oh, that's the entire defense. Okay, fine. In my defense, we said we were going to do predictions. Anyway. And while I go through these, we can decide whether we want to carry any of them over. And again, it doesn't matter. We're never coming back to this. But we can if we want to carry them over to next year. So I'll go through mine first. My first prediction was that they would announce a Young Avengers movie or series. And I'm gonna say yes on this one.
No.
Yeah.
Just because they met up at the end of a film does not mean that it's happening.
It absolutely means it's happening.
No, it doesn't. So many things have... Do you remember Harry Styles appearing at the end of a film? Do you think that's happening?
Hey, I didn't say it was happening. I said it'd be announced. And that is an announcement.
Oh, you're going into that kind of detail now.
That is an announcement.
But then...
What's her name? I always forget her name. Ms. Marvel.
Kamala Khan.
Yeah. Well, no, the actress.
Iman Vellani.
Thank you. She was in an interview and she actually referred to them making Young Avengers in the future. So, 1 point for Colin. My second one was Emma Stone would announce her directorial debut. She has not done that. Nope. My next one, which we both had actually, was... Oh, sorry. And I'm not going to carry that over. Our next one was that they would announce a Mummy sequel starring Brendan Fraser. We both independently had that as a prediction.
That's not a good prediction, though.
It's a good prediction. It didn't happen, though.
What happened to Brendan Fraser since then, though? The Whale? I thought he would be the biggest thing ever.
He was in... Well, obviously, that was after The Whale, but he was in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Do you want to carry it over?
Very minded,
it doesn't matter at all, but do you want to carry it over?
So that someone will keep track of it next year.
Yep.
Yeah, let's do it. Why not?
There you go. I'm going to say I won't carry it over. I think the time has passed, but go for it. My next one is that they would announce a Kurt Cobain biopic, and I said that Robert Pattinson would star. That did not happen. There's only so many ways I can say it didn't happen. I'm not going to carry it over. I also said that George Clooney and Jennifer Aniston would announce that they're going to star in a movie together. It didn't happen, Zijan. It didn't happen.
Just like everything we predicted.
I did Google all these things to check. I Googled George Clooney, Jennifer Aniston, and there's an interesting few articles about how they're great friends. But no movies.
Never. Not good enough friends to make a movie.
No. I'm not going to carry that over. I said that Sony were going to announce a cardiac movie. Do you remember that?
Yeah, because you're looking for another Spider-Man villain.
Basically, it's a really
make a solo movie, and
because my logic behind that one was that I'd never heard of El Muerto, but they've cancelled that, so maybe they're learning a lesson. I don't know.
Do you think Sony learns their lesson?
No, sorry, that was a silly thing to say.
I know, right?
I'm not going to carry it over though.
Are you sure? You're going to kick yourself when you hear next year that?
Yeah, I'll be so annoyed.
Cardiac. Yeah. Okay.
I've already got one. You'll find out. I've already got one Sony Spider-Man prediction. So, I predicted that Billy Crystal was going to play a character with a terminal illness. Nope. He hasn't been in anything, basically. So I am going to carry that one over. I think he's going to make his comeback next year. And I also made the prediction that there'll be a George Eliot biopic starring Tilda Swinton called Mary Ann. And absolutely none of that happened.
Well, I think that's a very good call, though. If anyone's going to play George Eliot, I think Tilda Swinton is perfect casting for
it. I was also reminded of one of my arguments for this is because Tilda Swinton had just done such a good job in Tar, a film which, of course, starred Cate Blanchett. So, well done. Well done, mate. We had some discussion about how Tilda Swinton and Cate Blanchett are, in my mind, the same person. So one point for me, Zijan, that you probably tried to take away from me, but I'm counting it.
Okay, well then.
Over to you. I'm assuming you don't remember your predictions.
Nope, they are.
But no, your first one was that there would be. I gotta say, you spread yourself fairly thin with some of these.
I know there was no BTS film.
Well, let's do that one then. You said that I think for like maybe the third year in a row, you said that there's going to be a BTS are going to appear in
Second
a
year
Hollywood film.
in a row.
Second year in a row. They're all doing active military service now, aren't they? Do
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
you want to carry this one over?
I'll carry it when they finish their active military service.
Okay. All right, so it's not even next year. It's like, I don't know, how long is Korean national service nowadays?
Very long, I think. 5 years. Can you
Five
imagine that?
years.
Doing
Wow.
military service for 5 years, even though you're a worldwide phenomenon in a global boy band group who's spoken at the UN before, you still have to serve the Korean government for 5 years as in the
Wow.
army.
Maybe they do a documentary while they're there or something. Well, I said we'll carry it over in 5 years' time. Your first one was that there would be more Stephen Sondheim adaptations slash a biopic.
No.
No. Do you want to carry that?
Nah, that's too early. Yeah.
It's way too,
Well,
I mean, it was too early now, way too early a year ago.
yeah, definitely way too early a year ago. Let's carry on forward.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
You said that there would be a Breakfast Club remake or TV series.
No, that's just consider. I don't know why I say that.
No,
That's for fun.
it's mad. I think TV series is more likely, as I said at the time. Now, here's one that I was quite hopeful for you for a bit. You said there was going to be an Ursula film, as in from The Little Mermaid. You were not prepared to declare whether that would be a direct spin-off from The Little Mermaid or be something separate. I googled Ursula spin-off movie, and apparently Miss McCarthy is eager, as is Sophia Bardem. However, I tracked down the quote. This is my I did a lot of research going into this episode. I tracked down the
I did
quote.
none.
Oh, I know. And basically, some interviewer said, "Would you like to do an Ursula spin-off?" And Sophia Bardem's like, "I would love that. That'd be great." And Melissa McCarthy said, "Let's do six or seven." I'm not counting that, I'm afraid.
I mean, I don't think Javier, like, I saw The Little Mermaid. I never thought Javier Bardem seemed happy to be there.
All right.
The Little Mermaid. So, I'm quite surprised that he would want to join in an Ursula film.
In fairness, on the publicity tour for Little Mermaid, if they're like, "Would you like to do more of this?" Like, no, I hated it. Well, did you see that Hugh Grant, doing his usual Hugh Grant shtick, had
Yeah, I
said he
have.
hated making Wonka? But I think he's just
Yes.
joking.
Who knows at this point?
Anyway, are you ready for one that you got right?
Have I got one right?
You said that Henry Cavill would be announced as the new James Bond, or in a new Warcraft movie. I'll be honest, Ijan, I can't believe I
Yes.
let you get away with that as a prediction.
Why?
Two incredibly different things that you've just crammed into one.
I mean, I could come up with two separate predictions if you wanted me to, right? There's nothing wrong with that. I could just say that I've got two different predictions.
Okay.
I just want to put it all in because I've got Henry Cavill in both of them, so it makes it easier for me to say it out loud.
Anyway, I think possibly even before the episode went out, because on December 22nd, it was the good people of GameStop or Games said that they got a deal with Amazon. A further announcement would be made in due course. Henry Cavill said something about how he was very excited to bring Warcraft to us, either as a TV as a sorry, either as a movie or a series. Since then, literally nothing has happened. But I'm going to count that. I think that's
Yes,
good enough.
finally got one right. I've never got one right before.
It's very exciting. Very exciting. Will you watch the Henry Cavill Warcraft movie?
I like Henry Cavill. Like, what else will I watch him in anymore after this? He's not in Superman anymore. He's not in The Witcher anymore. He's in nothing anymore.
Oh, have you seen
So I'll probably watch him in.
you seen the trailer for Argyle? That's really good. He's doing that. Anyway, so there you go. We've both got one each. You've got one more prediction, TJ, which again, I can't quite believe I'll let you get away with this because your prediction was for eventually, not over the next year, but eventually, all Warner Brothers' theatrical releases will be DC films. In the light,
Ha
In the light of the massive success of Barbie and the upcoming Dune 2 and Godzilla X Kong blockbusters next year, how do you feel about this prediction now?
I mean, eventually is a long time coming. Yeah, fine, yeah. Fine. I'm just happy I got one correct. Okay,
yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm very happy I got one correct.
Pretty good. Right. So as I said, I've written 9 predictions for 2024. Tell you what, if you've done none, I'm gonna make it a full 10. Okay, because the one I put in and then took out, but I'll put it back in, is that they're gonna announce Pitch Perfect 4.
Huh.
Do you reckon?
Huh. I mean, the girls are not doing anything else, right? I mean, I saw Anna Kendrick in the film recently, the one about her being emotionally abused by her husband.
Mm, Alice Darling, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the last one I seen her in.
Yeah, she's doing stuff. Well, next week we're doing our Looking Forward episode, which I imagine you're not going to prepare anything for. But Anna Kendrick's got a very interesting film coming up with Jake Johnson. Looking forward to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that happening. I mean, Elizabeth Banks can direct it, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. She produced the third one, didn't she? I think so.
But it's not like, where else can they go with Pitch Perfect anyway? Like, how many more competitions have they not
They've not done it in space yet. Do it in space.
Pitch Perfect 4 in space. A pitch in space.
There you go. I think that could work. They're putting Acker in front of stuff. I wonder if there's something there. My next one was Venom 3, which is, we already know that's happening, but my prediction is that it'll be a team-up movie that will feature Madame Web, Kraven, and Morbius, as well as Venom.
I hate this so much.
Yeah, obviously.
I hate so many things that you've put in a string of in a sentence together. Oh, no, I hate even the idea of it. I hate it so much.
But do you think it might happen?
No.
No?
Have you seen a Madame Web trailer?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird, right? Like, it's weird. I don't understand it. I forgot that they're introducing so many new Spider-Women babies as well.
Yeah, like, it's just all the Spider-Women, but... Yeah. But, I mean, obviously we know that Sony wants to do a Sinister Six or something like that.
Yeah.
I think, what else are they going to do with Venom 3? They can't just have them keep fighting different Venoms, can they?
I mean, that's essentially what the comics are, really. How many Venoms can you fight?
And Tom Holland is not going to want to appear in this movie because they can't... They want to set it up, I'm sure, for Spider-Man versus Sinister Six, but I just don't think that's going to happen with Tom Holland, because why would he do that? So, but I think they're teaming up. I think they must be. I'll find out. Here's a big one. Number 3. Kevin Feige to resign.
Next year.
So there's already talk of maybe... I mean, this is already a rumour that he might move into Star Wars instead, or just... And I think with the way Marvel's going, I think he might step down next year.
That's... I mean, we both know that the Marvel right now is not the Marvel we knew and fell in love with way back then. But it's Feige's baby, right? Like, I'm not sure anyone, like, especially since the Avengers, I think he'll stay on till the end of the Kang, or if there's going to be a Kang thing, I think he'll stay on till the end of Phase 6.
Yeah, maybe I mean he'll announce that he'll step down at that point rather than he'll actually step down next year. I think he'll announce that he's on his way out, and it'll be a face statement. It won't be like a quit Disney altogether, but it might be I'm moving into Star Wars or Pixar or whatever else. I'm moving to be head of such and such. Or maybe even kind of getting promoted type thing, like on paper, but really it's just shoving him off into a back room somewhere. Now we know, T-John, we know that at the moment it's movies about games or movie adaptations of games are huge.
Oh, is your Jenga prediction coming back again?
It's not Jenga.
Is it not? I mean,
No. Well, I've got one a bit like that. We'll come on to that. But this is more, I'm thinking more computer games here. And I'm not a gamer, but yes. I have heard of Call of Duty, and I think Call of Duty movie. My other thing was going to be GTA. In fact, if you're allowed to put ors in your argument or in mine, Call of Duty or GTA movie. But my worry is, are they going to do an R-rated movie game adaptation.
Okay, now I can come up with. I'm going to come up with a prediction.
It's gonna name a game
based off that.
Okay.
Yeah, based off that, because I don't think Call of Duty or GTA will be made in a movie, but I think something like Halo or BioShock. I'm gonna put some odds now because okay. I can come up with 10 games, right? So you come up with 10 predictions. So.
Now they already made a Halo TV series that cost a lot of money and no one watched it.
So that's gone. BioShock or Mass Effect. So either one of those three will be made into a movie.
So Halo, BioShock, or Mass Effect movie. Mm-hmm. Is that effect or affect?
Effect.
It doesn't matter at all. But I want to get it right. Okay. What is it about those ones that make you think they're more likely?
They are very story-driven games.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Have you played these things?
I played a bit of BioShock. I've played the first Halo.
Right.
Yeah, so I've not played Mass Effect before. But I do think they are very strong story-driven games, like The Last of Us, you know? The one that became the TV show last year. I think these will be made into films. Well, it will be made. It's more story driven than Jenga, I will tell you that.
That's fair. Yep, I haven't heard much about that Jenga movie recently. I've played GTA 3.
That's in Andreas.
No, that was pre-San Andreas.
Vice City.
That was before that as well. This is back when it was still on the PC and it was top down. You could only see the top of the car driving around.
I never pictured you as someone who would play GTA at all, Colin.
No, it's my misspent youth season you're not aware of.
I mean, like, you know, part of the game is, you know, breaking the speed limit.
Yeah, and murder.
And murder, yes.
Yeah, I mean, one of those things I've done in real life, but I'm not prepared to vouchsafe which. Five. This might be the most boring prediction I've made. Adam Driver will do a David Fincher movie.
That is so boring, man.
It's so boring. I just think Adam Driver is working with a lot of really big name directors. Obviously, Michael Mann, he's playing Ferrari for coming up very soon. And I was looking at Martin Scorsese worked with in Silence. Ridley Scott he worked with in The Last Duel. And I thought, who's he not worked with? David Fincher. Turns out, when I googled Adam Driver, David Fincher, you know there was that Sony hack years ago? You know the Sony leak or Sony hack?
I remember that.
Apparently when Adam Driver was cast in Star Wars, David Fincher emailed someone at Sony to say WTF. So there you go. Maybe it's unlikely they'll work together. But yes, that's so boring. Number six, I was trying to find the other trend we're all very aware of is musicals based on movies.
Yes. You mean musical movies based on actual movies?
In this case, I'm cheating a little bit. I'm including kind of stage musicals based on movies, which I still think counts as a movie prediction because it's movie related.
Okay. What musical has come out?
Well, my first thing I was going to go for was The Devil Wears Prada. And it turns out that is coming out next year.
Yep, that is coming out.
So I had to change it. I've gone with The Truman Show.
Okay.
I think that'd be good.
Yeah, I can see that becoming a musical. It's very... It fits the kind of musical kind of vibe, doesn't it?
Yeah. In terms of setting, you wouldn't have to have too many sets. It feels... I mean, Groundhog Day we both saw, and it feels a bit like that in some ways, kind of this guy coming to terms with his new reality and all that. I think it would work really well. And I think it's popular enough. Like it's not like old classical thing, but everyone's seen it. Everyone likes it.
I think it'll find its audience. Mrs. Doubtfire is playing in the West End right now as well, and still going strong. Even though, I've not seen it. I've not heard. Well, I wasn't keen on watching it. I'd say.
No, I think it's coming to Bristol. I couldn't bother to.
Mr. Doubtfire, wow.
Yeah, I think so. Whereas Truman Show was a musical, I'd watch that. And I will watch it next year, Zijan, when it gets made.
As you predicted.
As I predicted. Now, Pixar. Pixar have recently been doing a bit of a tour of the world in their films, taking in different
not just
cultures.
Pixar, right? It's Disney in general.
Yeah. But obviously, we've had Coco, which is kind of Mexican people. They had Turning Red,
Luca.
went to Canada and the Chinese community there. Sorry, what? Luca, yes, Italy.
Italy.
And I was trying to think, where have they not covered yet? We're going to get a Pixar Inuit movie.
An Inuit movie.
Inuit, Eskimo. I think.
Okay.
I think they've not been there yet. I think there's a lot of. It feels very Pixar to be up in the snow.
They're screaming for representation, surely.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Name one Inuit film, Colin, that you've seen before.
I don't think I can. Even though I did Google animated Inuit film before this just to check it hadn't been done. And they did come up with one or two things. But can you think of any?
Klaus is an Inuit film.
Oh, is Klaus Inuit?
No, I have no idea. But they're like, they've got a little girl, right, who don't speak the language there.
Mm.
And she lives in a teepee in the snow with her parents.
So when I Googled Inuit animated movie, The Legend of Cirilla, a film I've not heard of, comes up number one. It's French-Canadian.
Hmm.
So there you go. I think it's a ripe territory that's not been covered.
Yeah, I mean, Disney is trying to do that, right? Like, yes, it's not just Pixar, because they did Raya and the Last Dragon recently. Then they're supposed to cover all of Southeast Asia, because we are all the same country. they did the film Wish recently as well. I don't think that's set. I'm not sure where that's set, but that's definitely not one of their usual Anglo-Saxon countries.
Right. I think, fair enough. I don't know where Wish is set. But yeah, where was Encanto set? I know it's not Pixar, but...
Colombia?
Yeah. There you go. It's time to look north, is what I'm saying. And the film... I'm not going to go for the title of the film, but maybe Look North is a good title. Prediction 8 is in two parts. The first part, Ben Affleck will play Daredevil in Deadpool 3. I think we all know that's happening, really. And Deadpool is going to call him Batman.
that is a very good one. Only because I've also saw the video on YouTube where Daredevil and Batman, and there's one person out there calling them out saying, "Why are you called Daredevil? That makes no sense at all. And why are you called Batman? You are blind as a bat. You should be it makes sense. You can sense things by sonar. You should be called yourself Batman. Why do you call yourself Daredevil?" And then after that, Ghost Rider comes by and say, "There's a guy on a motorcycle in flames. He should be Daredevil." Yeah, so there's a video on YouTube right
fun.
Now, which has that. Yeah,
I like that. I'll check it out. Now, number 9 is... I've abandoned Jenga the movie. And instead, in its place, it's going to be... We all know that after following Barbie, we're going to get lots of movies about toys and stuff.
Yes, of course.
Slinky the movie.
You know, right? When coming out with these kind of predictions, it kind of shows our age as well. Like,
our kids not playing with Slinkies anymore.
Do people play Slinkies? Why?
I always found they went down very well. Yeah.
Yeah.
They went, nice. Yeah.
Good one. Yeah. I mean, I guess.
I'll be honest. I'm not too hopeful on that one. But,
The world is definitely crying for a film about Slinkies.
I don't know who owns Slinky. Could be Hasbro. Don't know. And finally, surely they're going to announce the new James Bond next year. Sure they are.
Yes, it's about time, right?
And it's going to be Dev Patel.
Huh.
I think Dev Patel's a great actor.
I think he's a great actor too.
It's a kind of a different way to, I mean, obviously ethnicity wise, but also I think he's not kind of known for playing kind of suave, cool roles, and I think they might want to go a slightly different way with it. this time around.
Does he need James Bond though? Like, I feel like most of the actors that were became James Bond were pulled out of obscurity.
Yeah, it's fair to say he is more famous than the rest of them have been at the time they've got the job. I think that's true. But having said that, he hasn't got a franchise, and it feels like with things like The Last Airbender, maybe he was trying to get one. Maybe so maybe this is... I think if he was offered it, I don't think he'd turn it down. I just wanted to go a bit outside the box.
I think he can pull it off, though, to be fair.
Yeah, I think he'd be great. I think he'd be great. And I don't know what he's up to, man. I can't think what he's done recently.
No, me neither.
So maybe he's in training for playing James Bond. Do you have any other predictions other than Halo, Bioshock, or Mass Effect movie to be announced?
No, that's my only one.
Just one.
We'll come back to it next year and then discuss my one trailer, my one prediction.
We move on then to Actor Factor, where Zijan, we are doing the films of Meryl Streep.
Our last ever Actor Factor.
Yeah.
Sad time. So when we started this, we had so many actors to go through. And then towards the end, we were just picking up.
and yet somehow we never managed Meryl Streep until today.
I thought that you were avoiding Meryl Streep for a particular reason, so I never brought her up as well.
I think I just thought we'd already done it, because we did a quiz on Meryl Streep movies and I just got them mixed up.
Because I know we did like a Tom Hanks movie as a main topic, right?
We did.
I thought we were going to do the Meryl Streep one as an equivalent, but we never got around to that. So yeah, let's just do her filmography. And she has done a lot of good films, as we all know. Like, she's won 3 Oscars, nominated for the most, I think. She's the most nominated actress, I believe, because I imagine John Williams or Disney has nominated.
I think Walt Disney might be the most nominated ever or something, but yeah, I think she is the most nominated actor or actress. I think that's right. It's always slightly surprising she's only won 3, considering how often she got nominated. But I think a lot of the time it's kind of like, well, she's made a film, we better nominate her.
Yeah. That's how much gravitas Meryl Streep has in Hollywood.
And it's interesting looking at these, like, there's some incredible films early on, and then like this great run in the last couple of decades maybe. But there's a while in between where she wasn't doing stuff as high profile. I remember reading a quote from her once saying that the year she turned 40, she got offered 3 different witches. That's how Hollywood regards women. But yeah, she's made, and indeed she's not. She has played at least one witch.
Yes, in Into the Woods, I've seen. So I've seen her in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 14 films.
I have seen 24.
Nice.
Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I'll start. Well, might as well go into the musical territory first, because I mentioned Into the Woods. But yeah, she does quite a remarkable number of musicals, and she's, you know, I think she loves it. She was in Mamma Mia, playing the mother of Sophie with the most, we all know Mamma Mia, trying to fit a musical based on the songs of ABBA leads to a movie with a very weird plot line. She was in Into the Woods, which I mentioned before, the Sondheim musical, and she was also in, she was in Mary Poppins Returns.
I have to say, she is terrible in that movie.
Who did she play in that movie? I can't remember
now. She was some woman they go to visit to find out an answer to something. I can't really... I think she was playing like an Eastern European accent, if I remember rightly. And she lived in this weird house where things were upside down or something. I'm a bit vague on it. But she was going for something and it did not work. And obviously she's a fantastic actor, but she was awful in that movie.
Okay. I don't remember her in that movie. And then I've seen her in The Prom as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's on Netflix, where she and James Corden, who was in Into the Woods as well, they play some down-of-luck actors who tries to research their popularity by going to a high school and organizing their prom there.
Oh, I don't know that one at all.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's
worth
okay. Ariana DeBose is in it as well.
Oh, yeah.
She starred, and it's the same year that West Side Story came out for her. So in 1 year, she starred in 2 musicals, and where one she played a teenage girl, and the other she played a 30-year-old woman.
Wow. and Nicole Kidman. Oh, and Keegan Michael Key.
Yeah.
I'll add it to my list. There we go.
It's okay. It's not. I mean, of the musicals she's been in, Meryl Streep, I think the prom is probably the worst, really.
All right, fair enough. Okay. Yeah, okay. So I'll go back to some of her earlier stuff. So The Deer Hunter was the first of her films that I've seen, which I think was the kind of the first kind of big thing she did. Which is, I don't know whether I just got one with poor sound quality. I found it very difficult to follow what people were saying. I just put the subtitles on. But there's a very famous scene where they have to play Russian roulette in Vietnam. And then it's how they kind of, how do they react when they return home from the kind of the horrors of war. Christopher Walken and Robert De Niro, if I remember rightly. Manhattan, she plays, I think, Woody Allen's ex-wife, maybe? Maybe. Kramer versus Kramer, phenomenal film. Have you seen Kramer versus Kramer?
We did it for a little bit.
Oscar. We did, didn't we? Yes.
Yeah,
we
did it for a little bit. Oscar. I love that film a lot.
Yeah. Sophie's Choice, where she.
I have not seen Sophie's Choice, but I know the scene.
Yeah, it's a weird one because it comes out of nowhere. It's a kind of a. Like, there's no build up to it, really. It's just the famous. Yeah, she has to choose which of her children has to die, or he has to.
Yeah.
And. But it just seems like, yeah, it's not difficult to come up with a scenario that is that horrible. And it doesn't really come up anywhere. But I hadn't realized until I saw it that there's basically a framing device where she's dating a guy years later and you kind of see this stuff in flashback. I think it might be Kevin Bacon. Is that right? Anyway. Out of Africa. Pretty good.
Classic as well. Yeah. Oh, these are Oscar winning movies, aren't they?
Like, yeah, yeah,
all
yeah,
Best
yeah.
Picture winners. Yeah.
They are, yeah.
Out of Africa was, though.
Apart from Manhattan. Out of Africa was, yeah. Yeah.
No.
Postcards from the Edge was based on Roman and Clay by Carrie Fisher, where she played the Carrie Fisher character. That's good. You've seen Death Becomes Her, have you?
I have seen Death Becomes Her.
That's a weird
quite
film.
Like Death Becomes Her, even though it's very weird. Like, it's Bruce Willis and Goldie Hawn, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Well, was in it as well. So, I mean,
by the way, comedic. Kevin Kline, not Kevin Bacon, in Sophie's Choice.
Yeah, I love Death Becomes Her. It comes out on our TV all the time.
I didn't love it. I thought it was a bit too weird for me, with all the weird neck stuff.
Yeah, and the hole in the stomach.
Yes. AI, artificial intelligence, I thought was rubbish.
She played, I think she was voicing one of the characters, was she?
Yeah. Presumably she'd worked with, presumably worked with Spielberg before, but I don't know if she had. That might be the only, is that the only time she's worked with Spielberg?
The Post, right?
Oh, The Post, yeah, of course. Yes, I remember when The Post came out, there was a whole thing about, well, technically it's not the first time they've worked together, because she
voiced a fairy in AI.
Yeah. What else she got?
After that, she was in The Manchurian Candidate.
I've not seen that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a remake, isn't it? Because I'm pretty sure the story's been told before. A woman wanting her son to become president, in a way, and then there's some brainwashing thing going on as well.
I've not seen either version. No.
Yeah. She was in Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events.
That's fun.
She's actually a pretty good film, I would say. Jim Carrey's in it. Very good acting, I would say. And I think the kids were very well chosen for that film, really. They've casted the kids really well in that film.
I remember having a good time with it. Yeah. They never did a sequel to it, did they?
No, they haven't. But it's on Netflix now, it's a TV series with Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
The Count. After that, she was in The Devil Wears Prada. Which I love. It's one of my guilty pleasures. Like, if I want to watch something that I've seen before, but I don't want to like work too hard on it, The Devil Wears Prada is one of them. Not too fair. Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt are great in it as well. And Meryl Streep.
Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci is awesome in that as well. I think the only thing that I don't really care for is the relationship between Anne Hathaway and her boyfriend in it. But everything else, everything, especially everything with Meryl Streep in it, is amazing.
So you'll be watching the musical?
I would like to, yes. She was in Julie and Julia, where she plays Julia Child. That was also fun.
I really liked that film, yeah.
Me too.
Chris Messina, very good. Amy Adams.
And then Fantastic Mr. Fox, which I always like to bring up. She voices Mrs. Fox. This is a Wes Anderson film, and it's all in stop motion. And it's a very good film as well.
Yeah, I've also got Lions for Lambs, which is with Tom Cruise and Andrew Garfield. And Robert Redford, I think. Quite dull, to be honest. It's not very good. It's probably the last... Actually, no, I was going to say it's the last kind of like drama that Tom Cruise has done, but that's not true because he did American Made. But it's quite different to kind of... Like, there's no action in it. It's just people in rooms talking to each other. It's, I'd say, not brilliant. The Iron Lady, one of her Oscars, was playing Margaret Thatcher in that, which she does very well. The only thing I didn't like about that really is that it kind of played as if she was the first female MP ever, and like they have rooms full of men. I think, well, yeah, okay, she was outnumbered, but there have been female MPs for a long time. And also, I think they took great cares not to really show her politics at all. It was...
Which were very divisive.
Yeah, I mean, and I like Thatcher, but I know a lot of people don't, and they didn't touch on that at all, really. It was kind of just like, here's this woman in a man's world. Well, I think she would have been quite offended that that was their focus rather than anything else. Also, I've said this before, I'm sure, but there's a moment where towards the end of her life, she's kind of staring into the distance and remembering all her escapades, and it's all very moving and kind of subtle and, yeah, this beautiful pan in. And then through the wall of the cinema, I could hear the Mission Impossible music from the screening next door. It's kind of ruined the moment. The Hours, my brother's favourite film still, I think she was in that. That's all that's getting. Because I can't remember. I'm not entirely sure I've seen it all the way through. Suffragette, she popped in briefly to play...
She plays Emmeline Pankhurst, right?
Yeah. She's not in it much, but if you need someone to play that role for 5 minutes, get Meryl Streep. We've talked about Little Women before.
Yeah, she plays the matriarch of Little Women, which is, I know you don't like the book, but it's actually a pretty decent adaptation. Or the film. Oh, wow.
I didn't hate the film. I just disliked it, whereas I do hate the book.
But it's a very... Is Florence Pugh in it?
Yes.
You love Florence Pugh.
Do I? What?
No idea.
Since when do I love Florence Pugh?
I have no idea. I can't keep track of all the female actresses you are in love with.
I think I've only seen two Florence Pugh movies.
Oh, have you really? Oh, okay. Then never mind then. I take that back. Is Timothée Chalamet in it?
Yeah, he's pretty good. I think he'd make a good Wonka one day. Florence Foster Jenkins is a great film. I've said so many times before, but Hugh Grant is brilliant in that, and it really kind of marked a new chapter for Hugh Grant in terms of the choices he was making. And Don't Look Up, we talked about it at the time, I'm sure.
And she plays the President of the United States.
She does, and gets... Did she get eaten by something? Was that Jonah Hill?
Yeah, by a beast. Yes, yeah. Again.
Is that all the Meryl Streep films you've seen? Oh, yeah. Adaptation. I didn't mention Adaptation, which I don't remember too much about.
There's a lot of good films to choose from for your best film, Colin.
There is. Shall we start with the worst one? Because it might be easier.
Yeah.
I'm
going through a list now.
I mean,
maybe
I didn't,
AI, I guess. It's yeah, great.
I really didn't like AI. So I think it probably is that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just looking through those. I mean, there's some things here I didn't love, but AI is the only one I really disliked, I think.
And let's go for AI then.
And then the... Are we? Yeah, the post I didn't like. Yeah, let's... AI. What's the best? This feels like what 200 episodes or 198 episodes have been leading up to, is the two of us deciding Meryl Streep's best film. Here we go.
It's tough though. It's really tough. It's probably the toughest decision to make. It's not that, like, usually we don't struggle that hard.
It's a real Sophie's choice, isn't it? Of a
except no one dies.
Well, you say that, but if you get the wrong decision. I mean, I love Kramer versus Kramer. So for me, I think it has to be Kramer versus Kramer.
I'm going to go for The Devil Wears Prada.
That's a very good film.
Because I think she's so iconic in there. She really is.
Yeah, no, I'm going to stick with it's going to be one of those rare ones where we're not going to have to form an agreement on that one.
Yeah, but she has so many good films, though.
I think that's reasonable. Mm. Next time, let's look back on Oscars. Ijan, what are we looking back on Oscar for the last ever time?
As we are approaching the end of our podcast, we thought it apt to watch the first film to have ever won the Best Picture Award.
Mm.
Wings.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this, so I'm looking forward to finding out what's going on there. We finish, as we always do, on the quiz. As discussed, I've already won the year, but hey, why not do one more, two more. This is the penultimate one. It's on the Bourne movies, of which I have seen two.
I've seen one, I think, or okay. Two. One and a half, maybe.
I'll kick this off. Who is credited as an executive producer of The Bourne Identity, despite having died a year before its release?
I assume it's the author, right? Robert Ludlum.
Correct.
Question one. At 125 minutes, which was the longest of the Bourne films?
Oh, I did see this. Can I remember it? It's definitely not one of the first two. The second one is the shortest. I could be any of the other three, but I think I'm going to go with The Bourne Legacy.
Yeah, well done. That's great. Wait, 105 minutes.
Question two. At the start of The Bourne Supremacy, Jason Bourne is living in which Asian country?
India.
Correct.
Question two. What's the name of Jeremy Renner's character that was suspected to replace Matt Damon in The Bourne Legacy?
That was Aaron Cross.
That is correct.
Here's a lot. This is, I think, the longest question we've ever done. Here we go.
Right.
Question three. Tony Gilroy had a contract saying he only had to write one draft of the Bourne ultimatum script. Apparently handed it in, they hated it, and they didn't use it. Who said the following quote? I don't blame Tony for taking a boatload of money and handing in what he handed in. It's just that it was unreadable. This is a career ender. I mean, I could put this thing up on eBay and it would be game over for that dude. It's terrible. It's really embarrassing. He was having a go, basically, and he took his money and left.
What?
Who said that quote?
I'm going to assume it's the director, Paul Greengrass?
No, that was Matt Damon.
Oh, was it? Wow.
Who would later be directed by Tony Gilroy in Jason Bourne.
He must be. I really want to see the script now, though.
Yeah.
Question three. What's the name of the program that trained Jason Bourne to an assassin? It's also the name of the Jason Bourne TV series.
Oh, man, I read this so many times.
Mm-hmm.
I read this so many times. This is so annoying. Because it's something like Dreadnought or Trainwreck or something. It's not Trainwreck. It's I'm pretty sure it's one word, two syllables. Treadstone.
Wow, put it out of the bag.
Got there in the end. Here's a question that you'll like the answer to. What was the name of Jerry Moreno's character in The Bourne Legacy?
Aaron Cross. Question four. What are the 3 for 3 Academy Awards that The Bourne Ultimatum won? So he got nominated for three, he won all three.
Oh, wow. Okay. I've got to name all three of them.
I mean, you've already won this quiz, right, Colin? You might as well just go for it and just try it.
Okay. Cinematography and special effects. And another cinematography.
That's three. Okay. There's film editing, sound mixing, and sound editing.
0 for 3. Love it. Final question for you. Who was the only person other than Matt Damon from the original trilogy to reprise their role in 2016's Jason Bourne?
Julia Stiles.
Correct.
Because you love question five.
Okay.
Apart from Matt Damon, who's the only actor who reprised their roles in Jason Bourne?
That was the great Julia Stiles. Putting us at 4 all for the quiz. So we finish on a draw today. And what are we quizzing on next time, Dijon?
Yeah, as discussed earlier.
I think that's before we start recording.
Yeah, that's true. We're doing it on our first ever podcast.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. And listen back and see how bad the sound quality was. Or maybe it's
probably really bad.
Maybe it's bad.
It'll give us two more listeners, right?
It certainly will. It certainly will. And what is our main topic for next time?
We'll do our looking back and looking into the future. Although there's not much in the future now for the C2Zero films. It's also sad.
It is so sad. We'll see you then.
Bye.